If you have your Bibles, and I'm sure you do, or your phone, or it'll be on the screen, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 20. John chapter 20. I'm going to read 24 through 28 is my text here this morning. And I titled the message this morning on what is the significance of the scars. On Easter Sunday, we've preached on just about everything from the blood to the cross to the tomb to the cloth, the napkin. But this morning, God began to lay on my heart a few weeks ago about a subject concerning the scars. What is the significant about the scar? How many has got scars on your body that you can tell a story about those scars, right? If you'd stand with me for the reading of God's word. Verse 24 of John chapter 20. But Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came at this particular time. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Unless I see his hands, the mark made by the nails, and put my finger into the nail prints, and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house. Thomas was with them this time. Jesus came, though they were behind closed doors, and stood among them, and he stood among them and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach out your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place in my side. Do not be faithless or incurableless." That means without belief. "But stop your unbelief and believe." Verse 28. Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As I mentioned earlier, every one of us could tell a story of some of the scars that you have experienced. And some are healing from scars or injuries or surgery even right now. But though all of us have a story about scars, I've got particularly a deep one in my right shoulder, where a few years ago I had shoulder surgery, and 4, 5, 6 days later I got staph in that shoulder, and for the next month and a half I had to keep that wide open and go almost every day, have them to pack it, unpack it, repack it, clean it, wash it. It was about the most terrible experience that I thought that I'd ever had to go through. And during that time, I was sure that it was going to kill me. How many's ever been there? But I can tell you today, and I will repeat this several times throughout this message, this scar in my shoulder today represents that I went through something terrible, but I can testify that I lived over it. It is a sign that I went through it, but I lived over it. Can I tell you today that scars show us where we have been, but they do not dictate where we are going? That's good stuff right there. It tells us where we've been, but it does not dictate where we're going. Little do we know about the details of Jesus and his resurrected body, but we do know it was the same body which died on Calvary and was not only restored to life, but was changed incredibly. He was still human, but now glorified. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us that that which is sown imperishable will be raised the imperishable. 1 Corinthians 15 and 42. And yet he came and he passed through the doors and the walls. He even ate solid food. His natural body was dead on Calvary, but raised out of the tomb, transformed into a spiritual body, and was even new enough. N-E-W, knew enough that those who knew him best still did not recognize him. Ain't that awesome? But soon after, they did recognize him and know him as Jesus their Messiah. when he made reference to one particular thing. 36th verse of chapter 24 of Luke. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be to you." And they were startled and they were frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do you doubt? Why does doubt rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." Verse 40, "And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, 'Do you have anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of bullfish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence." A miraculous thing had happened. He died. He came back from the grave with a brand new body. And as I will share with you, even that brand new body had scars on it. And of all the things that he could have brought up, he brought up to his disciples about the scars. Can I tell you today that every wound, there is a scar. And every scar, there is a story. And that story says, "I have survived." But does anyone see it as I do, and how fascinating it is that Jesus didn't start the conversation with his disciples? He'd been gone a few days, and he had had a close, intimate relationship with them and his men together. And he didn't start his conversation, "Hey, can you see my new clothes? Did you see my new duds? Or perhaps, I told you I was crazy. Or perhaps the thing that had happened the last several days that he had been gone, or the fact that he hadn't sailed on the lake the last several days, or hadn't even got a hook wet." Can you believe that the first topic and subject that Jesus brought up, he said, "Did you see my scars? Did you see my scars?" Why was the scars the most fascinating and intriguing subject of all the things he hadn't seen his disciples in quite a while? Because he had survived. Christ himself had survived the most traumatic beating and crucifixion known to man. He had been beaten, the Bible says, beyond recognition. He had scars that was unimaginable, deep all the way to the bone. And yet he came back to tell his disciples, "Do you see the scars?" The scars were the main way he could convince and confirm to his disciples that it was true of him in that same body, now raised and transformed according to the scriptures that I just read to you. His disciples was frightened, and they were startled, and perhaps they seen the spirit. But then Jesus showed them the scars. I don't know exactly how you view it today, but I see it as a great way that I have overcome when I look at that scar. I can view it as how terrible it was, and I wished I never had to go through it. I went through it, and I did, but I don't need to complain to God because I did go through it, because he is telling me, "You went through it and I helped you, and you got the scars to prove it." Amen. Has it ever occurred to any of us that scars represent several things? But perhaps the most convincing is this. Again, the scars prove that you went through something tragic and dramatic, but you are a survivor. You are a survivor. You know why? Because of Jesus Christ. Jesus told them to look at my hands. Look at my feet. This is me. But don't touch me yet, because a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And he spake to them concerning his scars, and he showed them his hands and his feet. Stay with me now. We've already discussed how some of the disciples seen him before Thomas. When they reported to Thomas that they had seen Jesus, he said, Thomas said, I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to believe it until I see him for myself. 8 days later, when Jesus revealed himself to Thomas and told him to reach your hand and feel the scars in my hand and reach your hand in my side, when Thomas seen him, listen, Thomas was so adamant that he said to the rest of the guys, Peter and James and John, I am not going to believe that Jesus has rose from the dead until I see and touch and feel the scars in his hands and his side. I will not believe it. But when Jesus revealed himself to him, he melted at the sight of Jesus Christ, and he no longer had to have the experience of touching or feeling the scars. But Thomas's words were, my Lord and my God. I'm here to tell you today, church, in 2022, my God will still send his son to reveal himself to you in the midst of your sickness, in the midst of your scars, in the midst of your wounds, in the midst of your hurts, whether it's your heart, whether it's your mind, whether it's your body. God himself has sent his only begotten son, and he's telling you today, just reach your hand and feel the scars, because I have succeeded, I have won, I am more than a conqueror, and I did it just for you. I did it just for you. I can't help but wonder what the change was in Thomas's life and his demeanor. He was saying 8 days earlier, and probably the span of that 8 days, I've got to touch him. I've got to see those scars. I've got to see where they wounded him and they brought him even to death. And to the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ of Thomas, he desired to know for the fact and for the truth. I wonder what it was about Jesus's demeanor. Maybe it was his voice. Maybe it perhaps the look in his eyes, or perhaps his body language. But whatever it was, it totally captivated Thomas's heart and soul to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was Jesus Christ, and he loved him so very much. Can I tell you today, in the hour that we're living in, if you need anything from Jesus, if you get close enough to him, there's something about the look in his eyes, there's something about his voice as he whispers to you, there's something about his touch that will change your life completely. Amen. Completely. If it wasn't for Luke and John telling us about the scars, we would most likely assume that his glorified body, his resurrected body, would be free from all blemishes and even the scars. Let me say that again. If we had not heard what John and Luke had told about the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, we would assume his glorified body would be free from all blemishes and free from all scars. Right? What do y'all think? At first, one might think that his scars would be some kind of a defect. God made a blunder or a mistake. For surely, the glorified body would be free from all defects, even including the scars. We would assume that our Heavenly Father would have chosen to remove the scars from his son's glorified flesh. But I believe, church, with all my heart, that the scars was God's idea from the very beginning, because he had made human skin, our flesh, to heal from significant injuries by leaving scars. Did you know that your tongue is the only part and member of your body that will heal without leaving a scar? How many knew that? I mean, had no clue. I didn't either until I studied it out. And perhaps the reason that God put it that way is so we would forever have a testimony out of our mouth with no scars. Think about it. All of us have scars. Some of our scars, I'm coming to your heart right now. Some of our scars are physical scars and can be seen While some of our scars are mental scars, others have layers of scars upon your heart for all the times that it has been broken and damaged, for all the times of the abuse, the forsaken, or even the neglect. But I come to you to tell you, you can rest assured, whether your scars are visible or they lie hidden in your soul, the Christ that I serve, the Christ of the universe, has accumulated every scar on his body that you might ever experience. Word of God tells us he felt all of these, and in every way he was tempted like you and I. And they laid visible, those scars laid visible, whether your scars are visible or they're not, they laid visible on the hands and the feet and the side and the back of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think that we can testify, as Luke and John did, that resurrected scars of Jesus was not a defect, but for the glory and the testimony of our Christ's victory. Those scars that have been upon the body of Jesus is a living testimony that he battled the inhabitants of hell itself and came out victorious over death and on the grave. That ought to give us a cause right now to give Jesus a hand clap of praise, knowing because of those scars, it tells us of the battle and gives us a living testimony that he went to hell, battled hell, and come back victorious. And I just come to tell you today, the scars that Jesus possessed on his body is a reminder that he went through extreme torture and every circumstance just for you. Look at your neighbor and say, he did it for you. Those scars represent the victory as an overcomer. Somebody say overcomer. The scars of Jesus tells us he knows our pain. He became fully human and was made like we are in every aspect, that he might feel, know, and understand everything that you and I go through. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 tells us, for this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are also being tempted. Amen. Wow. Amen. Jesus did it just for us. That's why I said you need to cozy up to him today. He loves you so much. He cares for you so much. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, there's no better time today on this Easter Sunday morning to say, Jesus, I want to thank you for what you've done for me, and I want you to come into my life. His scars remind us that he does know our human pain, because Jesus chose to suffer for us. His scars tell us of his love and his Father's love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and 8. Finally, the scars of Jesus are significant of horrendous wounds that were healed. And they will forever tell us of the final victory that we have in Jesus Christ. As the book of Revelation unfolds, we see the ultimate triumph of a scarred Savior. For we see in the Revelation story the Lamb who was slain. It is he who stands in the center of heaven in the presence of the Father on the throne of the universe. It is he that they looked and they saw in his right hand. There had a book there around the throne of God that needed to be opened. And there was no one that was able or had the qualifications to open that book until they looked at a man that was as a lamb that was slain, but had the strength of a lion. One of the elders said, wait just a minute before you all get too emotional and get carried away. Verse number 5, weep not, behold the Lamb, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, had prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. Verse number 6, and he beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb as it had been slain. Now, before you just pass this off as another story, this is absolutely with the whole context with you in mind before you was ever born. He said, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before you was even thought of by your parents or their parents' parents, Christ was doing this all for you. Stood a Lamb as it had been slain. And Jesus Christ came, took the book out of his right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Listen, remember what I just told you 2 seconds ago? Every bit of this was done for you. You were predestined to serve God, but He was gracious enough to give you a choice. It's your choice, but yet without anyone saying or signing a document or anything saying, yes, I will do it, without any guarantee, Jesus Christ went ahead and done it for us anyway. And because of that, verse number 9, all those in heaven, and I plan to be in that number, sing a brand new song. Yes. Saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Church, can I tell you today we see John's introduction of the Lamb standing, though he had been slain. We see heaven's worshipers falling down before him saying, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, who is and who was and who is to come. Somebody give me a great big hearty amen.
Amen.
Yet he is able to take the book, open the seals of that book, which had been a grave concern only minutes before for those that was around the throne of God. They feared that no one had the qualifications to do so. He who was slain, he who bore the scars, yet stood as a lamb of the tribe of the lion of the tribe of Judah. He was the one and only with the qualifications that could satisfy the need that heaven had at that particular time. Revelations chapter 1, verse 8 says, I am the Alpha, and I am the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, saith the Lord, which I was, which was, and which is, and is to come, the Almighty. Stay with me for just a little bit longer. It's too early for lunch and too soon for a nap. Let's not forget his suffering, his shedding of blood. It is for God's glory. Our benefit. Let us not forget the suffering of his shed blood. It is for God's glory and for our benefit. Hey, I wish that there was some way in this world that I could somehow get you to understand and grasp the depth of God's love for you this morning. It is beyond our imagination. It's beyond our comprehension. But it was for his glory and for our benefit. We as his people must be forever reminded that we celebrate him as the Lamb who was slain. And now his sheep, with all the scars, have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are healed. The Bible tells us that his stripes were put on his back. And because of those, we are healed. It is through our visible scars that show us proof that we are more than conquerors through him that bear the scars, that he bear the scars for us. And we will worship him in the beauty of his holiness. And now only the scars in heaven are the ones that's the hands that's holding you. Amen. Did y'all get that? The only scars in heaven are in the hands that's holding you. Can I tell you today that scars simply mean that you were stronger than whatever it was that tried to kill you? I said the scars simply means that you were stronger than whatever it was that tried to kill you. Paul said in Galatians 6:17, "For now, let no person trouble me by making it necessary for me to vindicate my apostolic authority and divine truth of my gospel. For I bear on my body the brands or the marks or the scars of the Lord Jesus Christ, the wounds, the scars, the other outward evidence of persecution. These testify to his ownership of me." Paul was saying, it's these scars that I have upon my body testify that I am his and he is mine. I wonder how many of us could actually sing that song from the depths of our heart today and mean it with every fiber within us, that he's more important to us than anything else in this whole wide world. Scars, church, are significant in that everything that the enemy tries to scar us with, God uses those marks for his glory. I know that they're not comfortable, and I know they're not fun going through. But the testimony that God give us the strength. God give us the strength. No doubt there are scars that you possess today that you would love to forget. But they are there to serve as a reminder of God's faithfulness and grace. And if it had not been, they would have killed you. But because of Jesus, you lived to talk about it. You gave your testimony of God's mercy and his saving power. Whether it's physical wounds or whether it's emotional, God still allowed his son, Jesus, to experience every wound so he had survived. He has given us strength that through him we can endure all we need to endure to be made a conqueror and a survivor. Everybody say survivor. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm almost finished. Hello? Yeah. All I like is finishing. 1 Corinthians 10:13 said, "There hath no temptation taken you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able." How many believe that? Say amen. "But will with the temptation also make a way of an escape, that ye may be able to bear it." There may be scars to prove it, but those scars prove that you was victorious. Did you know that in ancient times that slaves bore the scars in their bodies to identify them to their masters? And this was exactly what Paul was talking about. That Jesus was his master. And he was not ashamed to bear the marks identifying him to Christ. Did you know that your scars is evidence of closure and you survived? And God has given us the scars to remind us that we have been healed. Honest, I'm almost finished. Stay with me. And they, servants of Christ, Paul speaking in 2 Corinthians, I just need to read this to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "They are servants of Christ." I must be out of my mind, Paul said, to be talking like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, he said. "I am more. I have worked much harder. I have been in prison more frequently. I have been flogged several times. I have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move." Anybody experienced a couple of things that Paul did there? "I have been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger of the city, in danger of the country, in danger of the sea, in danger from false brethren. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have hungered and thirsted and often gone without food. I have been cold. I have been naked. And after Paul goes through all of this, explaining all the things that he's been through, that last verse applies to every shepherd that stands behind their pulpit this morning and said, not only is there things that I have to go through mentally, physically, emotionally, Paul said, besides all of this, I have faced daily pressures of my concern for all the churches. You know what Paul was saying? That he had such a love of Jesus Christ within his heart and his life. And even though he was not ashamed to bear the scars and all the whippings and beatings and his flesh, his skin being shrunk up by the salty sea, he said, but because of all of that and with all of that, he said, I have a concern for the saints that are in the church of Jesus Christ. He said, I desire for them to have a relationship with him. I desire that they hear the truth and they receive the truth and they're not swept away with false doctrine. These things burden Paul's heart. And he looked past all of those physical things that he saw and experienced, and he said, I now have a burden of the church upon my heart, and I bear them daily, taking them to God. That's nothing but the love of God. Church, if we allow Christ today, God can use our deepest hurts to develop our greatest ministry. God has used our deepest hurts to develop our greatest ministries. I know several of you have fasted the last several hours, maybe sometime during this week, but I want to ask you a question. During the end of that fast, did you not feel closer to God than you did before the fast? Hello? You know why? Because your body was relinquishing what it took in naturally to absorb what it could spiritually. You missed a good opportunity to say glory right there. We need to learn to stop asking God, why did this happen to me? And start asking him, Lord, how do you want me to use this experience to help others and to benefit the kingdom? Amen. Wow. Lord, help me today that I'll quit complaining and allow you to receive the glory. My deepest and greatest desire when I stand behind this pulpit is, oh Lord, God, let me be a vessel of honor for your glory, for your honor. There's no doubt we will probably never understand some of the things that we go through or have gone through. And looking back, it's during our times of struggle that we find out what we really believe about God. Let me say that again. We'll probably never understand some of the things that we go through, but looking back, it's during those times of struggle that we find out what we really believe about God. Amen. You see, it's out of our pain, it's out of our struggle, comes our anointing, and out of our pain comes our calling. James 1 and 12 said, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he stands the test, he will receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. I'm closing again for the third time. When Jesus appeared to his disciples, they did not recognize him when he first walked into the room until he showed them his scars. Once they saw the scars, they knew who he was. So as we think about that for a moment, this is how people know Jesus today. For God uses the scars in your life to show others who Jesus is today. Believe it today. By His stripes, we are healed. And through the wounds that cover our bodies, His scars today is proof that He endured the worst of all torture to bring hope, to bring healing to those who has experienced those struggles themselves. Mr. Laurie, it's by His stripes you are healed. So that we can have this testimony and show the scars to those around about us, not complaining no more, that we too have survived because of Jesus Christ that bears the scars.